what you say.
Yeah, see, on A Course in Miracles, one of our biggest vectors back to unity is brother, or other, right? The other. The ego says the other enforces separation. The Course says, yeah, I know you're really drunk on that. So, we're going to use that. If you really believe she's different from you, with the Holy Spirit in tow, we're now going to use that difference. We're going to now use exactly what your eyes see, and we're going to start showing you the similarities. We're going to have you meet at another level. We're going to close your physical eyes and open your spiritual eye with that different being.
That's part of the beautiful thing of this book. It's like, the book doesn't say resist all this. It says,
that's right.
It doesn't say that.
It does not say resist all this. That's right. In fact, it said if you deny the world and your body and the separation, if you deny this, it's a particularly unuseful use of separation.
You
want to pass this?
Because you can learn, right? You can learn from your beliefs.
Well, yes, and you must learn from what you believe. You cannot learn from what you don't believe. It will not teach you, because you don't believe it. You look the other way. But what you believe, we can work with. Of Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's job, to take what you believe, wrong as it may be, and translate it to the truth. You would rediscover the truth now out of what you totally believed was true, was actually false, for you to learn that yourself. That's why, of Course in Miracles, there's no teacher outside of you. For you to learn that what you thought was true was false is allowing you to now see the truth. Okay. Oh, yeah. So what I wanted to do is, rather than do our normal meditation, we need to kind of pick up where we were last week. Here we are in a portion of the book that's called The Obstacles to Peace. And as we've all been understanding these last couple of weeks, the Course is here to show us that we are actively participating with our thoughts and our beliefs. Thank you very much. Our beliefs are becoming blocks for us to be peaceful in a given moment. In fact, we become somewhat addicted to the beliefs. Now, addiction means it shows up perhaps without you choosing it. You don't think you chose it. The addiction shows up, seems to be controlling you. That's what addiction is like, right? It seems to be more powerful than you. Otherwise, it's just a simple choice. We don't need a program. You don't need to. So this is ego's anonymous, because the ego seems to come first. Speak loudest. Control your life.
Ego's anonymous.
and you're trying to apologize later for having been so drunk on what the ego did to you when you were yelling at your loved one. Wow, I want to get rid of that drug. I want to come to peace. Well, right in this section of the book, it says, well, there are some obstacles to peace, and at the bottom of it all is you and your choices. And the book is like, I don't know how else to do this, but I'm going to have to run you through this very personally. And that's what we've been doing these last several weeks, with the attraction to guilt, the attraction to pain. And now we're going into a section that's talking about, well, I think we just finished it even. We finished a section about believing the body is valuable for what it offers. Oh, it's so obvious it's valuable for what it offers, you know? Well, you know, it gives us ability to hug another person. Ego says, you can't love without a body. How would you know I loved you if I couldn't come and hold you and look you right in your eyes? So true it is, right? But it's a substitute for true love. Substitute for true love. So actually, the ego's way of loving becomes a way to prevent you. It says in chapter 16 that the special relationship, it's a union where union is excluded. I bet you the word sex was cut out right out of that sentence. Yeah. So, no wonder so many love relationships don't make it. A union where you can exclude it. They're up and down and up and down and close and apart. So, as with all things in the Course in Miracles, the goal of this book is peace. The goal of the book is to give you the power, be a superpower in this world, wouldn't it? that you could choose peace under any circumstance. Little things, big things. I think most of us here are old enough to know it's the little things that are hardest. Somehow the big things, as devastating as they can frickin' be, you know, you will move past it, you will suffer, and then the light starts to come back, and now it's just aggravating, inconvenient. The little things, though, those don't get addressed as well as the big things. So the little things stay. Your little pet peeves and angers and things, these really steal peace from you. Yeah.
Can I give an example?
Yeah.
A little thing that happened. I got back from my trip, and I came back a day later than my daughter, and I sent a message saying I've been home a few hours, and my cell phone is now, and we can talk. So she called me. And the first thing she said is, "How long are you home yet?" And I said, "Didn't you get my text?" And she said, "Yeah, but it didn't say how, you know, if you were home or not." Mm-hmm. And I got into this thing with her. Well, yeah, I did say that. Instead of just saying, "What did you want to talk to me about?"
You got it.
And I didn't realize I'd done that until later.
Yes.
I mean, she said, "I want to talk to you."
Yes. No, that's a perfect example. You can bust your ego, and you can, everybody. You can go back and let the Holy Spirit use your past to heal your mind. It's one of the things you're drunk on is the past. The Holy Spirit says, "I can work with that. I know it's not real, but I know you think it is. So ask me to look at that conversation with you."
Which is what I did later. I said, "This is not really wrong. What did I do wrong?"
Nice, you
she
bet.
She said she wanted to talk, and instead I went to proving I was right about having told her already.
The ego's just slipped right in there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Good, excellent. That's exactly what we're talking about. We want to become aware of those things, which is why there's a workbook that'll take your hand all through the day and help you wake up every 5 minutes or 15 minutes or hour to recall what peace would do. Yeah. And that's how Holy Spirit whisper in your ear and correct you with that particular conversation. Well done. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it here.
That was a little thing.
Absolutely. A little.
Prove I was right.
Yeah, that's right. Right? A habit, even. Yeah, which just smells bad. If not, we'll drive a wedge between you and your daughter for a while.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I figured this out, because I've decided that if something feels bad, it's not coming from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I felt bad by the time the conversation was over. I said, "Okay, what did I do wrong?"
Yes. Yes.
What
very
I did
good.
Wrong was I didn't say, and she said, "When did you get home?" I didn't say, "Well, I'd really rather talk about what you wanted to call, what you called me about."
That's right. You can go through the conversation, and you can watch when your energy went from my lovely daughter to my stinking daughter's not loving, showing me the love I want. And I'm going to fix that. You go down, you can feel it go down, right? The energy's there. The peace was stolen. So an obstacle to peace came right in there.
Yeah.
You bet. Good job. That's it. Navigate a few of those. Your daughter will absolutely sense how quickly you came back from that.
Yep.
Good, good. Now, okay, so that all that having been said, we have to look at the big addictions here, the ones that go unchallenged. Course in Miracles works at all these levels, and we're working now on the attraction to death. Attracted to death? Aren't you careful to eat enough kale and don't you get purified water not right out of the tap so that you can live longer? You're not attracted to death, you're attracted to life. Of course says, "Wake up, buddy. Wake up. Underneath trying to get the best water to keep you alive is I don't want to die."
Fear.
Right? Fear. You got it. You got it. Which I think you could route all the way to guilt if I challenged you. But I won't tonight.
So attraction to death is being attracted to things that are negative. Things that are that you don't want. And so you think about it.
Or give me a one word definition of death.
Killing. Dying.
Okay. Anybody else? There's 100 of them.
Yeah.
Let's Fear. Real fear.
Failure.
Failure. Not a little failure. Death is not a little failure.
Total failure.
Killing is not a little... You don't get a little dead.
But, I mean, killing off something.
Like, yes.
We're always kill. I mean, I know there's a... I have a tendency to want to, like, you know, like a destructive quality.
Yes, yes.
You know.
Now, there's one word in Course in Miracles uses, and it's only four letters long, and we're going to... I think we'll hit it tonight, if not this week, then next week, because it's so... It's so indicative of how Course in Miracles can sum up these huge concepts of the ego.
What about
gone, right? Gone, death, yep. Loss. L-O-S-S.
Oh, yeah.
Loss.
Or even lack. Either one of those. Oh, my God. That is equivalent to death. And it's all the same level to the Christ mind. From Jesus' perspective, any kind of loss is death. To the ego, we've got all these different flavors. You know why? Because there's all sorts of orders of difficulty to miracles. To the ego, there's an infinite number of difficulties. Of course, in miracles, principle one, there's no order of difficulty to miracles. One's not harder, easier, bigger, or smaller. All expressions of love are, as because of what love is, they're maximal. They were to be applied instantly. It's complete.
Hostage of love means a lot.
Yeah, you bet, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hostage of love is not sacrificing. Yes, yes.
Do you understand what I meant when I said that?
Yes.
You can't escape?
Well, you can't escape, but it's just like you gotta stay there and suffer. I mean, I'm just talking about just, you know, that when I brought up that engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the supper ring,
mm-hmm.
you know, so how long is it going to take you to get out of the circus?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of Course in Miracles in chapter 16 talks about your hostage to love with a small L. And it talks about a storm. You're in the center of a storm surrounded by hate. The storm is hate circling. And you're trying to stay in the center that's calm. But the center exists not from a wonderful joining and a celebration of life, no, from hate. And you're trying to stay in a calmness surrounded by hate. Wow, is that graphic? Whoa! But I've been there. Remember, we went through that for so long. You know, I love you because you hate what I hate. We should hang together. And hate together. Right? People who hate together stay together. Isn't that the way? Suffering, right? Love it, Mario. Yeah, but you've woken up from that if you read chapter 16 and 17. This is a special relationship. A joining reunion is excluded. Oh, chaotic. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's really funny that I brought that up because that ring on that floor right there,
mm-hmm.
when I bring someone into that ring,
mm-hmm.
it's just being that person. Mm-hmm. And anything around it, I don't know. That was the first time when I first came here.
Yeah, so I remember that.
And I was like, okay.
You went and stood in there. You stood on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I don't know.
Well, tonight, we're talking about the punctuation to what the world / ego / separation, they're all the same level. The punctuation to what the world ego calls life.
Explain that.
Isn't how do you know when a sentence when you're reading ends?
Like a
period there. Or something. So I'm calling that final punctuation, I should say. Mm-hmm. So to the world, life, all life, ends. Death. Death. Death is real here. Course says, you don't have to get all so dramatic on me. Because when I talk, Jesus now, when I talk death, I mean loss of any type.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much for you? We can talk death. We can talk real graphic death of bodies and stuff. Let's do that. So, he does spend time on that because it's here. It is so real, right? So, let's bust the ego on death a little bit tonight. for that, I've chosen one of the lessons, a great lessons. It's not my favorite pick because that's next week. But the lessons that talk on death. Actually, I won't be here next week, so I need somebody to volunteer.
How are we going to learn the lesson if somebody else is going
to
do it?
You're going to have to wait a week. Yeah, but you'll do some great stuff otherwise. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. So Dave is going to hold the meeting, so everybody come support David. Yeah, so, but tonight is one of the powerful lessons about death, and please listen in. This is lesson 163 if you want to read along, or just close your eyes and listen, and I will virtually read it for you.
We did that one last before.
We did. We started it last week.
Lesson 163. There is no death. The Son of God is free. Death is a thought that takes on many forms, often unrecognized. It may appear as sadness, fear, anxiety or doubt, as anger, faithlessness, and lack of trust, concern for bodies, envy, and all forms in which the wish to be as you are not may come to tempt you. All such thoughts are but reflections of the worshipping of death as Savior and as giver of release. Embodiment of fear, the host of sin, God of the guilty, and the Lord of all illusions and deceptions, does the thought of death seem mighty. For it seems to hold all living things within its withered hand, all hopes and wishes in its blighting grasp, all goals perceived but in its sightless eyes. The frail, the helpless, and the sick bow down before death's image, thinking it alone is real, inevitable, worthy of their trust, for it alone will surely come. All things but death are seen to be unsure, too quickly lost, however hard to gain, uncertain in their outcome, apt to fail the hopes they once engendered, and to leave the taste of dust and ashes in their wake, in place of aspirations and of dreams. But death is counted on, for it will come with certain footsteps when the time has come for its arrival. It will never fail to take all life as hostage to itself. Would you bow down to idols such as this? Here is the strength and might of God Himself perceived within an idol made of dust. Here is the opposite of God, proclaimed as Lord of all creation, stronger than God's will for life, the endlessness of love, and heaven's perfect, changeless constancy. Here is the will of Father and of Son, defeated finally, and laid to rest beneath the headstone death has placed upon the body of the Holy Son of God. Unholy in defeat, he has become what death would have him be. His epitaph, which death itself has written, gives no name to him, for he is cast to dust. It says but this, here lies a witness, God is dead. And this it writes again and still again, while all the while its worshippers agree, and kneeling down with foreheads to the ground, they whisper fearfully that it is so. It is impossible to worship death in any form, and still select a few you would not cherish, and would yet avoid, while still believing in the rest, for death is total. Either all things die, or else they live, and cannot die. No compromise is possible. For here again we see an obvious position, which we must accept if we be sane. What contradicts one thought entirely cannot be true, unless its opposite is proven false. The idea of the death of God is so preposterous that even the insane have difficulty in believing it, for it implies that God was once alive and somehow perished, killed, apparently, by those who did not want him to survive. Their stronger will could triumph over his, and so eternal life gave way to death. And with the Father died the Son as well. Death's worshippers may be afraid. And yet can thoughts like these be fearful? they saw that it is only this which they believe, they would be instantly released. And you will show them this today. There is no death. And we renounce it now in every form, for their salvation and our own as well. God made not death. Whatever form it takes must therefore be illusion. This is the stand we take today, and it is given us to look past death and see the life beyond. Our Father, bless our eyes today. We are your messengers, and we would look upon the glorious reflection of your love which shines in everything. We live and move in you alone. We are not separate from your eternal life. There is no death. For death is not your will. And we abide where you have placed us, in the life we share with you and with all living things, to be like you and part of you forever. We accept your thoughts as ours, and our will is one with yours eternally. Amen.
Oh, good, right? Yeah, I like that. Okay, so let's dig in on some of that. First, would you please turn to page 417 in the text. 417 in the text before we go to that lesson. We're going to look at that lesson in a minute. So this is a section called The Third Obstacle, The Attraction of Death, and it's focusing on this incorruptible, moving us now to this idea of an incorruptible body, which you know what a corruptible body is like. So let's read, you ready? You read for us paragraph 4 on 417.
Okay. And what is the black drape body they would bury? A body which they dedicated to death, a symbol of corruption, a sacrifice to sin, offered to sin to feed upon and keep itself alive, a thing condemned, damned by the Maker, and lamented by every mourner who looks upon it as himself. You believe you have condemned the Son of God to this, are arrogant. But you who would release him are but honoring the will of his Creator. The arrogance of sin, the pride of guilt, the
sepulchre. It's that thing that you see in the British Parliament. The staff, the big elaborate staff showing that truth is present.
Yeah. The sepulchre of separation are part of your unrecognized dedication to death. The glitter of guilt you laid upon the body would kill it. For what the ego loves, it kills for its obedience. But what obeys it not, it cannot kill.
Whoa!
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's going right at the ego straight here. All right, so... Okay, so first thing I want us to do is look at sentence 3. You who believe you have condemned the Son of God to this are arrogant to this idea of death. For those of you who were here last week, I think it was last week. Yeah, we did a big, 2 weeks ago, we did a nice meditation on life. What is life? And we really drilled in on the idea of life, and I was introducing the metaphysical idea of life as opposed to the world's idea of life. Yeah, I think you missed that one.
No.
And but you've heard me talk about it before, if
no,
you
I was
remember.
There. It was last week.
It was last week. Okay, excellent. Good, good. And so there's this essence of life that means it's life. And it's the flavor of the world that death comes from life. And the only way, if it lives, it's going to die. That's the laws of the world. Course says, and this is a quote, death does not come from life. Now, I stopped and closed the book and meditated on that years ago, and that's where I got this whole principle unfolded for me. That, of course, life is life. Death is an aspect the ego has added to it to put an end to what otherwise would be infinite.
The life is eternal. And death in and of itself is final.
Finite and final. It puts a finite to something eternal. But wait,
yes.
Didn't you just say eternal? Mm. Eternal means there's no finite.
But life, what you're talking about and the Course is talking
yes.
about is something independent from death.
Yes.
It's not part of that. Death
there you
is
go.
A separate thing. It's like a black hole. Black hole things sink into it and die.
And don't come out. Not eternal.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's something that is made by the ego to support the ego's mission. Anybody? What's the ego's mission?
Destroy.
Your death.
Seek and do
separate.
Not.
Separate. Yeah, separation. Seek and do not bind ever.
Control.
Yeah, desperately control before you lose. Yeah, all of that. Separation is the summation of all of that stuff. Because when you, in order to get separation, you have to have things like you know, some punishment, like a real punishment. I don't mean a little one. We're talking death. Whoa, that's going to be really helpful when you try to experience separation from eternality. Love what God is. If you really want to be separate from God, we're going to have to add a few things in. Yes?
It's so hard to, like, you know, if you're looking at, like, death also as being, like, you know, an end or, like, a finite limit, to not get caught up in that. Like, I have a son who's a senior in high school and in the process of applying for colleges. Mm. And we're like, you better get this thing done, or this thing done, or this thing done, because otherwise you're going to miss the window, you know, and your opportunity is going to close.
Yeah.
And we're like telling this to our 17-year-old kid, and then I come here, I'm like, and then if you look at it from a different perspective, it's like an eternal life, and it'll be all sorts of different things for him along the way. But we're like, all of us, his teachers and the parents and the college counselor, we're like, you gotta get to this. You know, don't miss your window.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So as we wake up, we recognize that we are in a world of bodies and differences and sons who aren't in college yet, and it would be nice to get them through college before they're 30. Mm-hmm. It would be good. Yeah. Nothing wrong with all that. What we have to do is separate from the attachment to the worldly things, like getting your son through college on time. Separate from that true happiness. There is happiness with a son in college. There is happiness there. The world can be a very happy place. It can be a real kick. The problem is we get an attachment to that being the only happiness, and it's a substitute for the real happiness, which is eternal, which is all-encompassing, which
doesn't depend on anything.
Doesn't depend on anything outside of you. Which is a reflection of love here.
Are rules and laws part of the ego? They're constructed. They're not natural. You don't wake. You don't, you know, come out of the womb thinking, you know, I've got to stop at that red light. You
know? Right.
But so, you know, so rules are like a construct of something, but they're also beneficial.
Yes.
So
there's two ways to talk about the word rule or the word law.
Yeah.
One way is as a limit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the laws of gravity is a particular limit that just doesn't seem to go away.
Mm-hmm.
The law of reciprocity is also called a law, but it's not that it's a limit. It's an indication of that as you give, you will receive.
Right.
We still call it a law or a rule. Ego looks at limits or exclusionary ideas, and then the spirit or right-mindedness looks for laws that are inclusionary. Okay, so I'm just drilling down that word you use, rule and law.
Mm.
And so you can see, well, yeah, now I'm at level ego, and then Andrew's taking the same word, and he's taking us to level spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two choices.
The ego's laws or rules aren't real. They're not really a law. The law works all the time. All
right.
Well, they're not.
Yes.
They're made. The laws of the ego and the laws of this world are made.
Right, but not one of the laws.
Of ego.
There's not one law of the ego that's actually a law. Every one of those things that we say are a law in our ego, if you look a little deeper.
Yeah. Not one of the egos is a spiritual law.
Yeah,
it's a material law, and nothing material lasts forever. It's made, it's not created. I like to make a distinction. Here's how I do it. I made this up, okay? But it is... I'm thinking of doing YouTubes, you know, for taking the Course in Miracles terms. Mm-hmm. Tell me guys what you think real quick. Side note. I'm just going to go through a 3-minute YouTube on something like this. And I have a little meter over here. It's going to be Andrew, Course in Miracles. And sometimes it's really Andrew's idea. And so... Andrew's concept of this is that there are things that are real but not true. Like movies. Movies are real. I have some on my shelf at home. Don't tell me they're not real. I love them. Titanic is a great movie. Terminator, I love it. But it's just not true. Problem with that. It's not the truth. It's not even true. There was no Terminator from the year 2046. Arnold Schwarzenegger just pretended.
Yeah, and in 100, 200 years, there'll be some other form of entertainment. So, you know.
But they're real. They're not true, but they're real.
Yeah.
Just like the laws of the ego. Well, the courthouse is pretty close to where we're sitting now, and they're arguing things that they think are really real, real laws.
Right.
But as you move to the second level, spiritual level, you would give up all things of limit. Even the things that are real here. Well, that's one indication of what you're going to give it up. And that's what we're talking about with death. Death is a law here. It's a law of limit. But it's not true. But for us to go, we've all experienced some kind of death. We're all old enough. We've all experienced some kind of death somewhere along the way. And it ended. Something ended.
The concept of death.
Yes.
Even experiencing death in this world.
Yes.
I have personally.
Yes.
Is so in the past, and it's so embedded in levels of awareness that, you know, I just think I'm past something, and then there it is again.
Yeah.
It's so... What is it? What is the word? It's
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I think, oh, I choose to live my life in a certain way. I will allow it unfolds.
Yes.
And then I accept, and then I learn whatever it is I need to learn, and I practice whatever I can practice. But that whole concept of death and grief and loss,
yes,
is so embedded.
Yes, in embedded.
It's psyche.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I say this is like an addiction.
It's incredible.
I'm not an experienced addict, but I really do believe there's a huge parallel with what we're doing and what addicts go through. So anybody who's willing to talk about, if you're advanced in that area, I just think that if you're going to stop drinking alcohol and you're really addicted to it, you have to not go to the bars anymore.
Right.
You have to. You know, or I've heard cigarette smoke. People who've quit cigarettes for 20 years and they say, oh, they smell that smell and something goes
wrong. You dream it.
Wow.
Dream you're smoking.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
But death, Andrew.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
I have this thing I get, I write a lot and I write and I say, I know that every being that has been in my life that is no longer walking this earth is with me still.
Mm-hmm.
That we're one. We're a part of each other's spirit. We're one.
Yes.
And that I do not lament, which is part of just what was read.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be doing some journaling and I'll go, oh, I miss this person, or I'm thinking of this person. It's the past, and it's like infuriating because it just comes out, but it's not real.
Yeah.
I mean, the emotion is visceral. The emotion is real, but the thought is an addictive thought to something from the past.
Yes, yes. Peace comes, this is a quote from the book, peace comes from understanding.
Right. Don't beat myself up anymore.
You bet. You'll beat yourself up.
I beat myself up a lot.
Yes, naturally.
Bang my head against the wall. Can't I just get this out of my head? I just want to get rid of this.
Yes.
And I would never come to peace around it until I just embrace that it's part of this living in this world.
The book also says, this world, another quote, this world is not left by death, comma, but by understanding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love the lesson, there's no law but God's law.
Yeah.
Because that, I feel like that speaks to everything that we're talking about. Like, if it's God's law, then that person didn't actually die. And if it's God's law, that murderer isn't actually a bad human being. And if it's God's law, you know, all the things that we have anxiety and worry and fear about, like my son's not going to get into college and have ruined his whole life, you know, like if it's God's law supersedes all the other laws, then we're all good.
That would be a miracle.
Yeah. Right? I love that lesson.
Just like that. You would translate all the things the ego sees as limits, you translate them to laws of God. That's a shift in perception. That is a miracle.
And it's eternal.
Amen, sister.
And it's eternal.
It's eternal, it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to reach right over you here. Let me fall on you. Okay, so the punctuation to the world's idea of life, which I hope we busted last week, there is another way to look at life that's eternal and infinite. And I think it's just the most wonderful release of this whole death thing to respect that life is. Even if a flower dies, it did not change flowers. If something living dies, it did not change life. Life's at a different level, see? Life, when we say life here with a capital L, life, it's at a different level.
It's a source.
It's a source. Spirit. A Course in Miracles in the Manual for Teachers says, mind. How many times have I told you, seek no further than your own mind? How many times? I'm resisting saying it again. Of course, this mind is an activating agent of spirit. giving you a huge clue in just those few words. What's going on here? Alright, so please, again, on page 417, paragraph 4, look at sentence 3, right in the middle of the paragraph. You who believe, thank you so much for saying believe in the beginning, right? Because you cannot learn from things you don't believe.
That means looking at those beliefs.
That means looking at the beliefs, looking through your beliefs, from your beliefs. And A Course in Miracles says, I got good news for you. You can't do anything else. You are sitting and steaming and seeping and living and dying in your beliefs. So, no problem. Holy Spirit can share your beliefs. The Holy Spirit shares your beliefs, but the difference is, Holy Spirit knows they're not true. You think they are.
I know, you go from one to the next, it's like, at some point you realize, well, it's just what's happening. And you go from one to the next until they kind of go away.
Take life a little less seriously, everybody.
Yeah.
Just overall, let's get that t-shirt and wear it every once a week. Lighten up.
Really?
Right? Okay, good. Now, paragraph 4, sentence 3. You who believe, okay, now we talked about belief, right? It's a pretty big deal. You who believe, you have condemned the Son of God to this death. You're arrogant little pisses, really. he says, you really are full of your ideas, you're full of yourself, that you could somehow introduce death to life. It's pretty amazing what you think of yourself.
Well, what is this? What is it talking about? I mean,
condemning the Son of God to death.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I mean, give me an example of what
the idea that
anger
that you have some understanding of how this whole world operates and that you have control of it, so that you could introduce, well, in this case, death, but the idea is that you, even when you're angry with somebody at the supermarket because they clearly did this, the most ridiculous thing in line, right, and held everybody up, it's like you do not understand the whole picture because you are only, you're just fixated on this
minutia
of the world. Right. Yeah,
and you have given to that situation
all the meaning,
other aspects, you've given to it a quality of loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A quality of death, of loss. Any kind of lack, very good. It's absolutely now same level. That's right. So the supermarket whole thing, they're guilty for, say again?
Taking my time
and you've stolen some of my life.
I've never done that though.
Being arrogant over there.
Stolen something from me of value.
But isn't that the creation story that we all get?
But Course in Miracles is here to correct that idea. We're here to bust the ego on that. But remember, there are laws of the world. Like, for example, you were all allocated roughly 1.5 to 1.8 billion heartbeats, and you've ticked off a whole bunch since I met you. Oh no, some today. Law of the world. Okay? We're here, you call it spiritual meaning, because we need to go beyond the body, beyond the laws of the body. The laws of the body will continue to come at us constantly, even with our memories, as though they had some value, and that body had some value. See? That's a section we're reading. The whole drunkenness, that the body itself, alive, had some value to offer. But as you know, there's something went beyond the body there, and will forever be beyond the body. And it's the same thing, the love, that you had for the body when it is alive, somehow is still there, and the body is dead. Huge clue! Of going beyond the body. But you have to be able to visit that as truth. You have to be able to experience these feelings that are beyond the body, because the Course is going to ask you to go there quite often. And I'm going to do it tonight. Okay? So,
can I
yes.
just say for me, the word death doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
But the word loss means a lot.
That's great.
Yeah.
Everybody?
Yeah. Yep.
So if I'm condemning the Son of God to loss, and I know that there is no such thing as loss, then if I believe in loss, then I'm being arrogant.
Yes.
Because there is no such thing, according to what I'm beginning to believe now.
Yes.
Because God doesn't let us lose itself.
Yes. In truth.
You're saying that God can die or that truth isn't true. That's where the arrogance comes in. There's a lesson that talks about, like, more or less, like, I'm this savior. I don't know the exact words, but I'm the savior of the world. And and it says right at the start, you, like, this is almost going to, like, appall you because, like, you, how can you be that important? But, the like, what's appalling is actually that you think you're that important in the other direction, right?
Yes.
That,
yes.
Like, you can create all this separation,
yes.
And you can
yes.
you can condemn other people and yes. judge, but to actually accept that by changing my own mind about the world, I can in fact save it. Yes. That's not arrogant.
Yes,
that's you taking responsibility to yes. go back to truth.
It's you are actually an extension of love. You are mm-hmm. an extension of God. Mm-hmm. That's going back to truth.
So I would then say that the attraction to death for me means that I believe that there is such a thing as loss, and every time something comes up, I get afraid I'm going to lose it.
That's it. Now that is real, but not true. It's real for the body. Mm-hmm. It's real over on Ocean Street where the courthouse is. And there's lots of money and people, and there's tears, and there's real loss is being argued over there and trying to settle it out in the terms of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Real, but not true. How can you say not true? These are people with broken families. There's been property stolen. There's been people killed even. Yeah. Well, remember, spiritual meeting now. Okay? We are here with the Course in Miracles to make a separation between the material and the spiritual.
I think it may be factual, but not true.
Yeah. Take your pick. I want two terms, though, just like that.
Yeah.
So that you can respect the world for what it is and go beyond it. You know? You're not there yet. But what happens in the part two of the workbook is... But you're close to something. It's going to blow your mind in 2 days. So in the workbook, it goes through this largest repetition of a phrase in the entire book. I should count it so we have an accurate number. It's huge. As you do it 20 or 30 times a day for 20 days, and it has this phrase, you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a body. I am free. Why? For I'm still as God created me.
20 days in a row, folks.
20 days in a row.
What? I sang that
20 days in a row.
The first time I did that.
Is that a lot of lessons?
Mm-hmm. I started singing.
You started singing it.
Yeah.
With it. It's a review section, and it has you go over and over. Every time you say the lesson for the day, start it with that phrase, end it with that phrase, and then put this new thing in the middle. Every single day, 10 times a day.
Wow.
For two, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because we're scrubbing the mud off.
Yeah.
You're ready at that point. By the time you get to lesson 199, so that starts showing up, you're ready to actually have this idea, the laws of the world, squeezed out of you.
Well,
it's time to wake
I
up.
I haven't gotten anywhere near that lesson, but the one that struck me that sounds the same as what God has given us, nothing cannot be taken away from us ever.
Yes, ever.
Mm.
Why? Because of the word he said, eternal.
Right. So we're born with what God's given us, and I love babies because they show what God's given us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know it consciously, but they show it. And when I think of that as a baby for myself, which I guess is innocence and joy and all that other stuff that comes through, that's never going to get taken away from me, and it makes me want to cry to know that it's never going to be taken away from me.
It can't. Yeah, it can't. That innocence is this ground of freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I think of what other things are going on, like when my grandchildren were applying for college, doesn't mean a thing. If they didn't get in this year, they can get in when they need to. Or when they want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Life isn't about necessarily about going to college.
That's right. And every situation, every decision you make around your children is an invitation to love. That's it. You do all sorts of things. And of course, there's this great sentence that says, tell your children not to do things, but tell them to do only this. This is a way to communicate to one that you are leading. Do only this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Whatever you do, don't you do this. Limit, 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 right? Well, that's the way the world works. Spirit is an invitation. Yes?
So I just want to share this really quick because it felt so amazing. I have a very tense relationship with my teenage daughter. And like a week ago, my husband and I found a huge bag of marijuana in her room. And a bunch of like shoplifted items that looked shoplifted. So anyway, when we sat down to talk with her about it, she just like lost it, and she was like crying, and she was like so upset, and like having an anxiety attack. And I looked at us, and I looked at her, and I was like, you know what? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, none of it matters. Like, it's like I wanted to say, but I didn't. Like, it didn't really happen. That was what I was thinking in my mind. Yeah. But I said to her instead, I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know, we're gonna take it. We're gonna flush it on the toilet. But it doesn't matter, and we love you. And we didn't punish her. We didn't criticize her. We didn't say, like, one thing, you shouldn't do that, or, you know, blah, 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 nothing. I just was like, it doesn't matter. And, like, it felt so good because it was just, like, I met that situation with just love. And I was like, didn't really happen. It's just all part of the illusion. But the real part is that we're, like, two spirits, and I was sending her love. And I've never parented that way before, especially around, like, something big.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
That's awesome. It happened, but no loss happened. No.
It allowed light to enter.
Light was applied instead of forms of guilt, which are all with darkness and loss. So instead, there was a forgiveness, a release occurred. Even as you dealt with the ugliness of the situation. It's a whole different way to live.
When my clients tell me what they don't want, I say, I don't want to hear what you don't want. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what you do want.
Yeah, that's a switch. That's a switch.
They may have a hard time going there a lot of times, but eventually they come to, this is what I want.
Julie, page 366, what's our quote?
The ego knows only what it does not want.
Correct. Mm. Right out of the book. Okay, so it's so great to flip that, right? Because it makes them flip out of their loss mode and flip into their empowerment. So, good job.
And every time they have a negative word, like no or not or never or what other things, then I say, well, you need to figure out a way to say that where it's a positive word.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Mm. Well done. Yes. Okay, so now let's look a little bit at this arrogance. Flip to page 222 in the text up front, chapter 12, and let's just look a little bit. But what the heck is going on here? We gotta bust the ego. It's getting so much strength, but we need to stop beating the ego with its beliefs. So 222, paragraph 9. Stefan, would you read that for us?
The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you are willing to accept even death to deny your father.
You know what? I'm going to have you read paragraph 8. Start with 8. We're going to 8 and 9.
I said before that God so loved the world that he gave it to his only begotten son. God does love the real world, and those who perceive its reality cannot see the world of death. For death is not of the real world, in which everything reflects the eternal. God gave you the real world in exchange for the one you made out of your split mind, and which is the symbol of death. For if you could really separate yourself from the mind of God, you would die.
Whoa! Mark, would you read that again to Stefan so he can just soak it up? Would you read the same paragraph again?
Same paragraph. Yeah. I said before that God so loved the world that he gave it to his only begotten Son. God does not love the
world.
God does love the real. God does love the real. And those who perceive its reality cannot see the world of death.
Mm-hmm.
For death is not of the real world, in which everything reflects the eternal.
Mm-hmm.
God gave you the real world in exchange for the one you made out of your split mind, and which is the symbol of death. For if you could really separate yourself from the mind of God, you would die.
You would die! Yeah. He says you would. It would light out.
It's like if you could split the atom.
I think the important part of that is if you could. But you can't.
But you can't because you are the mind of God.
Yeah. Right.
You are the mind of God. So it's so silly you could separate yourself off from what you are.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, same paragraph. We just spent a little time here for a second. Everybody? Anybody?
What is the talk about it?
To Course in Miracles. To Course in Miracles. What is the real world? What is the... Of course, he uses that term several times. And it's not perhaps what you might think about from the ego's perspective. It uses it specifically to describe a really great awakening. It uses the real world. Anybody here familiar with that concept? Michaeline, Julie?
It's the world.
Well, we've been talking about it all night. It's one where you are one with God, with love, with you're at peace.
Wow.
You're in touch with the truth.
Wow.
You see things the way they are.
Wow.
You're not caught up in the past.
Wow.
You're
timeless.
Not stuck on your ego.
Wow.
You know, all that.
Yeah. Or it's a place where you can recognize all that.
Yeah. But I think there's a sense of being in this sort of slipstream of the eternal. You know, like I get there when I'm creating something.
Yes.
Like when I forget that there's any time.
Yes.
I'm just like doing stuff, and I'm like in this flow. It's a sense of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I lose touch with. I forget the fact. Like, all,
yes.
If I ever had any problems that day, I forget about them.
Holy instant.
Yeah.
Yes.
But isn't that also you're in touch with creativity, which is of God?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on now.
It's all the same.
Hang on. We're working on one term here, real world, for a moment, okay?
It's so if I'm not wrong, the real world is still an illusion, but it is one in which everything is forgiven.
Yes.
And once that happens,
yes.
The real world will not exist long.
Yes.
Because then we transcend even that illusion.
Is that a girl? That's it. That is the real world to A Course in Miracles. Your ego would definitely like to expand the real world to make a happy dream last forever.
Mm.
But Julie, you're on it? A Course in Miracles' use of that term is the awakening. Christ-mindedness.
Awakening. Mm-hmm.
And it goes through a holy instant like that for sure. As everything you said, everything you described. And this is what it's pointing to. When you're really, really free of the world, you stepped out of time. You stepped out of loss, death, limit, separation.
Mm-hmm.
You've transcended all of them, and you see the world differently. Not with the, no longer. You still use the body's eyes, but now the translation is instant. And we call it, you see the face of Christ. Everywhere. Just for an instant.
Just for an instant, but I think on our journey,
yes.
What we experience is an increasing amount of that.
Yes.
Ideally, that's
yes.
The goal, right?
Yes.
That there's, I always have described it as like, you know, if you're a pendulum swinging wildly, in my experience of 4 years of this book, it's like I'm crawling up to the fulcrum point. So my swings are less and less, like the higher that I go.
Mm-hmm.
And And so I look at you, Andrew, you know, after all the years of your study, you very clearly say, you know, nothing is more important to you than peace. Mm-hmm. And, like, so the things that rattle you are very few, and when they do, it doesn't last long, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So maybe not everything is forgiven yet, but mm-hmm. but that real world becomes more and more tangible.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. that's right.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and easily accepted. Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it. It is an all-or-nothing game. And the Course says, if you leave one thing out, one little pet peeve, that SOB deserves to die, or deserves to be that one aspect of life, or the world, or one personality, then you're never going to forgive that. I'll forgive everybody else, but not that. Mm. Well, Course says, ego's got you.
Yeah.
And what's worse is, it's got you entirely.
Yeah.
Until that moment leaves.
Until that's forgiven.
Until that's forgiven. I had a real awakening a couple weeks ago about a person that, a special relationship that has been on and off special for over almost 50 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I am reaching a new point in that relationship because I pray for a holy relationship. I want a holy relationship. Mm-hmm. And I find myself just furious and angry and then it hit me. That's the block to love is my ego, right? I can love as I love that person all my life. I can love everyone. It's not just that person.
Nice.
That love that I feel that I cannot extend physically or in the presence of, I can still extend it.
Yes.
To who's in my life, who's present.
Yes.
And not identified and separated out because it's that person.
That's right.
And it, and I get that experience, but it's really amazing. It's like Julie said, that pendulum, you know, and then I go down and it's bigger again.
Isn't it true that when you're in the presence of your own love, it feels like you're in the presence of everyone's love?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me. There is no separation while I'm loving.
Yeah, there was one life, and there is one love, and that I share with God.
Yeah. And as we are all of God, then it's all. I mean that holy instant isn't about me. It's about every.
How many holy instants are there?
One.
It's got to be one.
But wait a minute. One.
Now.
Yes. Beautiful. How comforting is that? And every time you get into that holy instant, isn't it rich? Isn't it sweet? You could claim it's many, but the way you recognize it is that it's this, it is that.
And it has a constancy.
Yes.
Every experience of it.
Yes.
It just is.
In those creative freedom that you talk about, is it boring?
No.
Just asking.
Right.
Because I get this so many times. People say, I don't really want to be really peaceful. Too peaceful would be like, how many times can you strum a harp in heaven? I don't really want to go.
But they
haven't experienced it. You haven't been free yet.
The interesting thing is that if you try and repeat that, it doesn't happen.
It's like, ego's got to
try
right.
And
yes.
Have an expectation that you're going to do that. You're going to be in that moment.
Yes, the same moment.
You'll be very unhappy.
Yes, very good.
But you know, the other thing what I got most from what you just said really was the word constancy. Because when I have that moment, it doesn't feel like there's any time. It doesn't feel like I got into it or got out of it. It feels like that's all there is. Feels like that's all there is, and then there is no time. It's all there is.
Mm-hmm. It's part of an awakening. It's a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Walt, would you read for us paragraph 9 on 222? Mm-hmm. Buckle your seatbelt for this.
Yes, sir.
The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you are willing to accept even death to deny your father. Yet he would not have it so, and so it is not so. You still cannot will against him, and that is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will because it is governed by the desire to be unlike God. This desire is not will.
Okay, now just for a moment, hold on a second, Walt. A Course in Miracles makes a distinction between will and wish. Wish is of the ego. Will is of spirit. Wish is, I hope so. It may or may not happen. I wish it would. Wish is like make. I'll try. Will is the domain of spirit, of choice, of power, of creativity. Please continue.
The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and senseless laws, and without meaning of any kind. For it is made out of what you do not want, projected from your mind because you are afraid of it. Yet this world is only in the mind of its maker, along with his real salvation. Do not believe it is outside of yourself, for only by recognizing where it is will you gain control over it. For you do not have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision.
For you do have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision. Okay, this is getting pretty personal, kind of sobering us up on what's going on here. Let's read just the first two sentences of the next paragraph. Stephen, would you?
If you will recognize that all the attack you perceive is in your own mind and nowhere else, you will at last have placed its source. And where it begins, it must end. For in this same place also lies salvation.
Thank you. And that's metaphysics of A Course in Miracles right there.
Oh, yeah.
I've been living this, and I had a real aha moment after last week because I'm really frustrated with somebody, and it's funny because I've done these lessons a million times, and there's ones where it's like, pick a person. And I'm always, I will just say, I was pretty blessed because, like, I'd struggle to pick a person. Like, I really didn't have people that I was frustrated or angry with. I guess I was lucky. But all of a sudden, I have a person. And,
you?
But it's like chronic, like, angst to where now it's like I have to really think to myself, like, because I'm so quick to react now because I've developed this pattern of frustration, so I have to be careful not to act too quickly when there's not even grounds, right? but what was my aha moment after last week was that I'm doing this to myself.
Yeah.
That the only reason it's amplifying is because I'm so fixated on it. And I, like, if I attack that, I am directly attacking myself. And haven't had a lot of opportunities to practice another way just yet, because fortunately I've had a little, it's been a little break from this person, but I'm just really trying to hold that awareness of it's just my mind in that moment deciding I don't like this.
Yes.
And all I have to do is release that.
That's right. So what was that one thing where you're talking about, like, a blessing? You were talking about a blessing, and then I
ask for a blessing
about another person, you know, like, let,
oh, I don't know, you realize you went back that far.
That was only a few weeks ago.
Was it? Oh. I mean, that's one of these really beautiful things that comes out of the workbook is, if you got to straighten your head out, see if this is the right thing that you're talking about. If you really want to have a shift in your world, look at a complete stranger in the back of their head is probably more helpful than their face. You're on a bus or something, you're in a cafeteria. Look at the back of their head and say, I wish for them. Give them a blessing. I wish for them. Is this the right thing? I wish for that perfect stranger that when they get home, they find out that they don't have the problems they thought they had. The kid's going to have better grades than anybody knew. There's going to be the right food in the refrigerator for tonight's dinner, and guess what show is on? and they'll all sit down and enjoy it at the right time. This is going to be a great day. And you don't even see their face. But you, the compassion starts to well up in you. You got to try this. You can just do it with anybody in your life. Just close your eyes and do it with anybody or anything. You know, you can just imagine the same thing will happen because you're calling on adjoining. You're calling on love.
So you could, like, buy that person a gift.
What I've done following that awakening now, because I, when I think about having to interact more, I'm like Kim now. I've become Kim with her person. I get anxious even having to think about interacting. So I'm literally going to my garden, my little mind garden.
Yes.
And I'm like putting the person there at the altar. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit, help. There's not even another word. It's just like here.
You bet. Holy Spirit, I got a problem with this. It's page 419, if you want. Everybody, just when you put that person on the altar, you could just chant page 419 as you visualize that person on the altar.
We're
almost there. Yeah. So everybody flip to, keep your finger here.
You going to bring bookmarks for us next week?
You got fingers, don't you? God gave you fingers, buddy. You know what? We're going to drop
to a special bookmark.
Yeah, bookmark number 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, go ahead, drop 222. We're running out of time, so we're gonna leave that for another time. And let's go to page 419, because what Julie's talking about is one of our toolbox items. On the website, there's a section for free Course in Miracles study tools. And this is one. It's a toolbox, and it's like 10 places you can go in the course when the beep hits the fan, and you're unhappy, and don't feel like reading the whole chapter. I want peace now, right? Because this is an SOB, right? Well, here's one of them.
All right.
And so, just as what Julie was talking about, you can look at paragraph 11. So, who's up to bat?
Me.
All right. There is justice. Paragraph 11.
Oh, 11. Okay. I went to the italics in my mind. When anything seems to you to be a source of fear, when any situation strikes you with terror and makes your body tremble and the cold sweat of fear comes over it, remember it is always for one reason. The ego has perceived it as a symbol of fear, a sign of sin and death. Remember then that neither sign nor symbol should be confused with source, for they must stand for something other than themselves. Their meaning cannot lie in them, but must be sought in what they represent. And they may thus mean everything or nothing, according to the truth or falsity of the idea which they reflect.
Please read that sentence again for emphasis.
Yeah. And they may thus mean everything or nothing, according to the truth or falsity of the idea which they reflect. Yeah. Confronted with such seeming uncertainty of meaning, judge it not. Remember the holy presence of the one given you to be the source of judgment. Give it to him to judge for you and say, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me not to make of it an obstacle of peace, but to let you use it for me to facilitate peace's coming.
Exactly.
Teach me how not to.
And you put that SOB on the altar, that holy one, ask holy one, on the altar, and let the Holy Spirit come through you as you say this, as you visualize that, and purify. Let the whole situation be purified, and a miracle will come with a shift in perception. This is a way to facilitate peace that's coming with that one, a difficult one. You bet. That's how we use. Nothing's wasted here if the Holy Spirit's translating for you. Nothing here is wasted anymore.
Well, and what's witnessed there is that, like, what I witnessed is that, like, I'm preemptively reacting.
Yeah.
Because I've been triggered too much, right? It's like, but to even witness that I have a response before there's even an issue.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, to witness how the ego...
Oh, that was what I was talking about exactly when I was saying the stuff going around in my head.
Yes. Right?
It really... I love that. That's so, like, perfect, because it... Such seeming... what was it, though? About nothing? About it being nothing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it really is nothing.
Oh!
And we're making ourselves miserable over it.
And it's like this 8-track tape that you stick the old 8-track tape in, and it's stuck, and it's going round and round and round and round.
Yeah.
What I like about this the most, though, is I don't have to figure it out in my head.
Yeah.
All I do is put it on the altar and let the Holy Spirit do it for me.
Yeah.
And it makes it so easy, and I think for me, just to do that, when I'm able to do that, I'm feeling humble, and that feels wonderful.
You bet. Lesson 155. I will step back and let him lead the way.
Exactly.
Boy, those are fighting words to the ego who's got a head full of steam.
Mm.
But when you said, wait a minute, I really want to see this differently.
All
right, then it's not, it won't be Luann who sees it. Luann is the problem.
Right.
I better go quiet.
Not only that you don't want to do it your way, but not only that you can't, I can't remember what I was going to say, you actually can't fix it.
Yes.
Because you're creating it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You have to turn it
over. That's why I came today. Yeah.
Not that you should not. You could not.
There, should not. Yeah, that should not. Connect.
That's right. Very good. It's so free.
It's free.
To be able to step out of the problem.
Yep, and then, I don't know what to do.
Yes, that's right. I don't know what anything's for. I don't know what this is for.
So when I have a bad feeling within me, and I can't figure out where it comes from or what to do about it, then that's when I say, well, I've got to depend on the Holy Spirit to do it for me.
That's right. I need a miracle.
Choose again.
Mm.
Forgive.
No, I don't have to choose anything. I have to rest in knowing that I don't have to do anything.
I believe that's your truth. The book just says, when you feel bad, it means you made a choice.
Yeah.
That wasn't...
I don't know what anything...
That's just what the book says.
Yeah.
You made a choice.
It's really good to go to stillness. You need do nothing right away. How fast can you do nothing?
Mm.
You bet. That's right.
And that's the... I think good. To me that's the value of meditation is you are awake to every single moment and every choice you're making. And the problem with that little situation is I went straight to, I was right about when I told my daughter when I came home, and she was wrong. Instead of, what is she calling about? She wants to tell me something important.
Well, does it seem tricky? Does it seem to affect me if I'm tired or something's going on that I'm like more able to react? Even though I've read in here, it just says, ego speaks first. If you'll just hold on for a second, Stephanie, check the bid. Holy Spirit will give me the... All I have to do is not have that reaction.
Yeah.
Because that... I'm fast at that. Like, immediate reaction. And even before it happens, I'm already warming up my defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for who knows, like for 53 years or something. But who knows who's like warming up those defenses. But the book says, like, all I gotta do is just stop for a second. The first thing that's gonna come out of your mouth... the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth was not going to be the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book is saying, the ego speaks first. If I just take out a second and go like...
The ego speaks first? Is that what
that's what it says? Says because
the ego speaks first and
your own experience
speaks loudest.
If I look at my own experience,
ain't that the truth?
Does that seem like that's real? Does that seem like that's real for me in my life? Yeah. If that's a real kind of thing, real.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It sure seems to be. It seems like exceedingly consistent to the point of
insanity.
Well, what can I say?
Well.
You know, I mean, it's competing, right?
He's competing.
I'm competing.
Yes.
In my mind.
Yes.
And it's not. It's competition.
That's right.
Spiritual ego.
That's right. It's very powerful.
Ego.
The ego is another quote from the book. The ego is as powerful in its effects as the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's funny you said that because I got a gift of wishful thinking. So I said, okay, thank you. My first thought's gonna I'm gonna catch it in for 1,000. It's for every 10 that I think. I'm going to, after the 10th, I'm going to order another 1,000. Then I was kind of thinking, wait a minute, so everything I'm going to think and want is spiritual thinking.
Yes.
So every 10, then I cash in 1,000 more.
That's right. That's why there's a benefit of choosing once again with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Choose with the ego, you get 1,000 things you don't want.
Hello.
And it will follow. Take one step in the descent to hell, and do not do that, because more will follow. Take one step in the ascent to heaven. 10,000 will be invited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, Mario.
No, I love it.
Okay. Well, all right, turn to page in the workbook, 361. Page 361 in the workbook. Because we have to bust this arrogance, and we're going to use it now. We're going to use your powers of mind that you have for benefit. And what could that possibly look like, and how does it work? Well, this is a gift for you. Page 361, paragraph 5. We're going to read a couple of paragraphs. New Girl, would you like to read?
Sure.
Thank you. Paragraph 5.
It is your thoughts alone that cause you pain. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way.
You know what? I'm in the wrong place.
Me too. Me too.
Workbook. Workbook, page 361.
A workbook. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Didn't hear that part.
If I had Kenny say it, I'll bet you everybody would have been was there.
You haven't tried recruiting Kenny.
Kenny, what page are we on?
You know, if you call the lessons instead of...
In the workbook.
In the workbook.
I think he says
it... Back.
In the back. Well, I think if he says it, we're all going to know.
If he said lessons instead of workbook, I would hear it every time.
Okay.
Let's change the title of that whole thing.
All right.
Not the...
Okay.
Crack it out.
Well, anyway, I love this. I will try to bite my tongue because we're running out of time, but there's so much in this. I'm just going to let the Course speak for itself. So please continue.
There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail. But it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. As you perceive the harmlessness in them, they will accept your holy will as theirs, and that was seen as fearful now becomes a source of innocence and holiness.
Like a bag of marijuana busted so badly. Not to mention a bunch of stolen stuff. I mean, oh my God. But the inclusion, your presence there to be included in that instead of as a form of separation and punishment. Wow. Wow. You bet that's different.
Angela Zarian, maybe you've all heard of her. Remember Angela Zarian? Anybody?
No.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay. All right.
I took a class in advanced master teaching. And she said the only way to teach anybody anything is to only through the strengths that they display.
Very nice.
It's only through positive statements. Anything negative, you're not going to teach them with.
Sounds good. Yeah.
They're not good.
Sounds good.
And oh my God, we all had to give a speech in that class. Giving a speech. I can do it. This isn't a speech. Giving a formal speech.
Oh, yeah.
By the third time I did it in that class, I didn't have a problem at all in front of about 50 people.
Nice. Beautiful.
Because all she did was compliment. Every time I gave a speech, she complimented.
Sounds like a good space. Good learning environment. Paragraph 6. Bridget.
My holy brother, think of this a while. The world you... see does nothing.
Period. Whoa.
It has no effects at all.
Period.
It merely represents your thoughts, and it will change entirely as you elect to change your mind and choose the joy of God as what you really want.
So what is A Course in Miracles trying to get us to do?
change our mind.
Yes, and choose to enjoy God is what you really want.
This is good news.
Is this like a good news? Like, you know, he's kind of summing it all up right here. Got it in a sentence for you again. In case you weren't noticing what we've been doing for the past 1,200 pages, we're helping you to choose the joy of God instead of pain. Not convinced that you really want to? Well, I'll hold your hand some more.
I don't know. I think I want to stay with my horrible way.
My horrible ways. I'm used to them. I'm used to all this suffering.
I just want to be an asshole.
Yeah. I'm the best asshole I know.
But you can't even win that way if you really say, I'm just going to do it my way.
Right.
This Donald is Trump. My way. And if that was actually true, I'd be pretty happy as my regular old self.
If it worked.
Well, it's just not true.
You can't do it.
It's not even my way.
It's not your way.
So I even try that, it's a
not
losing.
Even
I can't even win for losing.
That's
like this.
Right.
You can't win for anybody else for not. For,
that's right.
Then you don't have to. You know. Then you can always win.
By blaming anybody else, they don't have any power.
All right, guys, we're out of time.
Fully in control.
Right. Let's continue. There's more here. I want you to see. Let's continue.
Yourself is radiant in this holy joy, unchanged and unchanging and unchangeable, forever and forever. And would you deny a little corner of your mind its own inheritance and keep it as a hospital? Keep it as a hospital.
Hospital for pain.
For pain.
Mm-hmm.
A sickly place where living things must come at last to die.
Okay.
Shall I translate that, or is it obvious that's not what he's talking about? Anybody been here? Hospital for pain means we just kind of help the pain get better and better until it completely takes over. And the little corner of your mind is what's here. The little corner of your mind is the spark elsewhere. That is the spark of God that's invested in separation. Would you keep that little spark, that beautiful little child, little spark, in a hospital for pain? That helps pain take over and get stronger and healthy? Oh, don't do that. That's all he's saying. He's saying there is another way, this paragraph. He's saying there is another way. And what A Course in Miracles is doing is bringing you back to the joy of God. Just try it. You'll like it.
So does it just happen just like every short moment at a time? Every short moment, like when I'm doing work?
Yes.
And things aren't going right, and all of a sudden it works and you go, oh.
In that moment of freedom, this is what it is to taste freedom. And yes, your whole life without Course in Miracles not needed, your whole life's had those moments, but they don't go recognized as truly free. When with A Course in Miracles you can actually choose again and bring that freedom, same freedom. Oh, it's going right. Whew, I like this.
It happens, and then it happens.
You discover the power of your mind, which was always there as an extension of God, as a creator yourself. The real you now can choose to be free at any time. And you'll say, wow, I wish I would have chosen to be free when I was yelling at my son last year.
So most of the time I just don't believe it.
Yes.
So I just go, did it again.
Yes. That's right.
I want to give that up.
That's correct. You want to give that up. Damn straight you want to give that up. And the sooner the better.
Yeah. So during the day, you go like, oh, I got another gift.
I'll take a gift now. If you can't go that far, just say, oh.
Oh, maybe call it a miracle. Is that what you mean?
I'll call it a miracle now. I'll take one now, Holy Spirit. You put the thing down. Things are going wrong. Stop. Stop. Mm-hmm. And say, Holy Spirit, you show me this differently and help me use it to bring peace instead of take peace? Because my ego's making this take peace fast. Now, all you got to do, step back and let the Holy Spirit come in and look at it. take a breath and go, oh, you will be reborn as what you really are. Good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, a couple of minutes left. That's just a crazy paragraph, but we'll come back to it one day. Let's do paragraph 7 also. Mario.
Okay. The world may seem to cause you pain, and yet the world has causeless, has no power to cause. As an effect, it cannot make effects. As an illusion, it is what you wish. Your idle wishes represent its pain. Your strange desires bring it evil dreams. Your thoughts of death envelop it in fear, while in your kind forgiveness does it live. Wow, it's just something I was going to say before this. If you thought it, you did it, you own it.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Seek no further than your own mind.
Wow.
Seek no further than your own mind. Course in Miracles over and over again is telling us. But you can't be trying to do that being a victim. You'd have to have a movement somehow, somewhere, but there's part of you that is free to not be a victim.
A victim of loss.
A victim of loss.
Well, you have to have some awareness, some moment of awakeness, some moment where you can tell the difference.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, if you think that I'm always going to be this way,
yes,
nothing's ever going to change,
yes,
people always stay the same.
Yes.
I'm helpless.
Yes.
Then you're a victim. Then you're really a victim.
That's right.
You don't have any power.
That's right. And that is faith, mm-hmm, in action.
Mm-hmm.
Faith in victimhood.
Yeah.
If you believe it's true,
yeah,
you cannot forgive it.
Right.
If you believe it's true, you cannot forgive it.
Yeah.
No room for a miracle.
Right.
Can I ask?
So true. Fine print. Binary. Mm. Miracle principle 7. It says miracles are everyone's right, comma, but,
uh-oh,
record scratch, I hate to tell you, purification is necessary first. And the purification is one of the, it can come as a form of becoming still for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's purifying the mind. Just about these creative moments you've had, or the moments you've had, where suddenly it's okay.
Or having a miracle and recognizing it as a miracle.
Yes.
You have to recognize it's a miracle.
Yes.
And know the difference between what you were thinking before and after.
Yes.
And go, oh, yes, now I'm released, you know?
Yeah. Yes. That's why a miracle is not enough.
What do you mean?
I'm glad you asked.
Thought you said you had to have a purification of mind.
You really do, right? Course in Miracles says 3 times, it says, readiness is not mastery.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
A miracle's
it's just
not,
one step. It's one little fragment of the entire picture.
It's opened the door, yeah, but you have to step through
you
with
have
forgiveness.
To continue, you have to continue. Yeah.
You have to actually stop those thoughts and,
yeah,
say, this is always going to be a problem.
Right.
And you have to get the idea how powerful the miracle was, which is this shifted. Wait, yeah, if I shifted this, what else can I shift?
Yeah.
Right? That now I'm going to let go the next time something comes up. I'm going to release my stinking thinking that just keep coming back like an old penny. Well, that's before my time.
Scratchy record.
And go through the door with forgiveness, which is a release. Yeah. I'm not going to use my old thinking as a light to guide me now. The miracle shows the power of your mind, and forgiveness is how you apply it. Forgiveness means I'm going to release my habitual thinking, put down the bottle, and don't go back in the bar. You are now no longer a drinker. It's got to be that. And what happens is, when you choose to do this, especially in a difficult situation where you thought it was hopeless, but you remembered that that a shift is possible, and you put down your thoughts of victimhood and loss, you took a breath, the holy instant comes in with freedom, and you may find yourself laughing.
That actually happened.
Yes.
And it happened very
unusually in that I woke up the next morning with this overwhelming, I just woke up with this overwhelming sense of awe for the day. Like this.
Yes.
A day. This day is a miracle. And everything.
It's a gift.
Everything just kind of happened.
Yes.
So, what you've just been saying, oh, it's an amazing day.
Take a deep breath.
Good. Yep. Fun.
So that was a choice. That was a free will choice to take that breath. You commanded your body and it did it. Seek no further than your own mind, for your entire life is going to happen now with your next thought. Well, there it is. And incompletion in that very moment is life itself. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Incompletion in the present moment is life itself. The true you, whatever you really are, is an extension of life. The thing you see in the mirror is an extension of death. It's just the flower, beautiful as it may be. It is destined to find limits. Hunger, pain, cancer, heartbreak, victimhood, expectations that are dashed. This is the things of the world. But you, right now, in any perfect moment, were you just to be present, this is eternity. This is life. It's another level of living. It's the only place you can love. The only place you can join is right now. Like we are joined right now. We are. So in this way, would you please release all thoughts of loss right now? Touch eternity. It's always now. Infinity. Infinity is always now. This is where you are in truth. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Florida.
Thank you, Santa Cruz.
Europe, it's I'm so upset about that.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.